Turn to John chapter 5. And what we're going to begin doing tonight is just studying John chapter 5. And let's just begin reading in verse 1. It says, "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath." And we'll stop right there for the moment. Let's back up and kind of walk through this, some things we want to take a look at. First off, in verse 1, it talks about a feast, and that Jesus went to Jerusalem. Well, there were three feasts that the Jews had to observe. Well, the Jewish males. Any Jewish male living within 15 miles or so of Jerusalem had to go to Jerusalem by Jewish law for these feasts. Feast of Tabernacles, Pentecost, and Passover. Doesn't say exactly what feast this is. Could be Passover, I don't know. In chapter 6, it talks about the feast of the Passover. But nevertheless, we see that Jesus was going to Jerusalem, and this is why. It was because of this feast. In verse 2, it tells us that there's a pool. It's called Bethesda. Well, that word Bethesda in the Greek, it comes from a Greek word, Bethesda. I mean, literally, Bethesda. And essentially, it means house of healing. And so, we see here that there's this pool of water. And verse 3 tells us that there were a whole lot of people had all kinds of problems. And they were sitting there, laying there, whatever, waiting for the moving of the water. Now, here's what's interesting. You notice in verse 3, it says that they were blind, halt, and withered. You know, impotent, but blind, halt, withered. And they're waiting for the moving of the water. Because it says in verse 4 that an angel went down at a certain season and troubled the water. And whoever was first in the water, when it was troubled, was made whole of whatever disease he had. You notice there in verse 3, it says there are blind people. I mean, if you're blind, how are you going to know when the water's troubled? And then this guy has got this infirmity for 38 years. It doesn't say he was born this way. Something's happened. Don't know what. Something's happened to cause this man to, I guess, be a paraplegic. Because apparently he couldn't walk or whatever. But there's something there. The guy, he can't move too well and he can't move too quickly, because somebody always beats him in the water when the water is troubled. Now, here's something that's kind of interesting. It says in verse 3 that all these people with these problems lay by this pool. And they're waiting for the troubling of the water, because verse 4 says that an angel went down every so often, another way to put that, into the pool and troubled the water, or stirred it up, okay? And whoever was first in the troubling of the water was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Now, I want to ask you a question. Has that verse ever bothered you? Be honest. Has it ever bothered you that this whole concept is presented in Scripture, that an angel would just show up every now and then and, you know, stir the water up a little bit? I don't know, what do you do, like flap his wings in it or something? And get the, you know, way the water to rippling around, and then, you know, the first person in. You know what that looked like. The water gets stirred up, and it would have looked like a piranha feeding frenzy. All these people diving into the water at the same time to try and be first. You know that's what happened. And it says that the first person in was made whole. Now, I am not a theologian, but I have a really hard time finding anything else anywhere from Genesis to Revelation that even comes close to being something like this. Those of you that have read the Bible, do you recall anything? I mean, let's not even say it's a troubling of waters in another pool, maybe a rustling of the leaves or something. I don't know. But I can't find anything else in Scripture that's like even in the same category of something happening. So I'm doing some research and I'm trying to find out, okay, what's the deal on this? Is there some kind of writing? Are there historical records somewhere that indicate that this kind of thing was going on? And, you know, you're free to do your own research, but I have yet to find anything that confirms this story. Here's what I have found. That, you know, in the Greek, they don't have grammatical notations like we have. You know, they don't have periods and they don't have commas and they don't have, you know, brackets and things like that. Here's what I have found. That in the English, this is apparently a difficult phrase to translate. Well, from Greek into English. In verse 3, it talks about all these people with the problems waiting for the moving of the waters. Well, apparently, what you see here in verse 4 is not necessarily a statement of fact, but a statement of belief. In other words, verse 3 is telling us what these people did, and verse 4 is telling us why they did it, or what they believed. Because what I did find about this pool, and you'll find this out just about any, you know, good, decent research book or, you know, things on the website, different websites, whatever, that there was an artesian spring that fed this pool. And that every now and then, the force of the water going into this pool would cause it to kind of bubble up at the top. Now, I've seen something like this happen down in Florida at Ponce de Leon Springs, to where right there's a huge big pool, and right in the middle of it is where it's being fed. And this water is fairly deep, maybe like 30 feet or something like that, and it's like a big hole in the ground where the water comes from underground straight up. And when it comes up, it's kind of like if you were to take a garden hose and hold it in a swimming pool and the water would just kind of be rippling up on top. That's what it does. That's what this is describing here. And apparently, this isn't so much a statement of what actually happened, because there's no record anybody ever really got healed. It's what these people believed. And that's why there's nothing in Scripture anywhere that indicates God does something like this. Now, I'm willing to concede the possibility, but at the same time, I think you'll catch on here as we go further along in this. This appears to be more of what they thought would happen as opposed to what really happened. Well, this guy is there, and he's been within this condition for 38 years. Jesus shows up. He sees him, and he realizes, verse 6, that this man's been there all this time. And look at the question that he asks. Wilt thou be made whole? All right, now back up. Verse 4, what was the belief? The first person in the water, after it was troubled, was made whole of whatever disease he had. You see that? So what does Jesus ask the man? He doesn't ask the man, do you want to be healed? He asks the man, do you want to be whole? In other words, Jesus is identifying what it is these people believe as far as what we see in here, verse 4, troubling of the waters. Jesus looks at this man and he says, wilt thou be made whole? All right. Doesn't that seem kind of like a redundant question to you? Why is the guy there? Because he wants to be healed, right? He wants to be whole. He wouldn't be there. You know, down where Jesus says, take up your bed and walk, that word bed is describing something that's kind of like an army cot. You know what an army cot looks like? It's got this, you know, cheap wood frame. And like this canvas thing. We used to have a couple of those at home when we were growing up. And whenever we would have friends come over, you know, they'd stay on the army cot. And it was kind of like a treat to get to stay on the army cot. Well, anyway, that's what this bed is. It was like a very lightweight wood frame. And it had like a padded quilt for the bed. But it could also be used as a stretcher to carry people around. Well, this guy needed somebody to carry him around. And, you know, he's been in this condition for 38 years. Who knows how old he was when this thing first started to hit him. So he needed somebody to help him. Now, I don't know about you, but it would be pretty difficult to just one person carry a grown man from point A to point B every single day. So apparently this was used as a stretcher and they transported him. Well, anyway, he's there, all right? And he's waiting for the troubling of the waters because he tells Jesus, you know, I'd really like to be whole, but the problem is this. There's nobody here to help me. In other words, they drop me off and leave. There's nobody here to help me. And when the waters are troubled, you know, I try to get in, but by then it's too late. Somebody's already beaten me to it, and I guarantee a whole lot of other people beat him to it as well. And so he says, I can't get my healing because I can't get in the water. But the question was, do you want to be made whole? Now think about this. Jesus is standing there with this guy, and he says, do you want to be made whole? Now, there's the man with the infirmity, there's the pool, and there's Jesus. And Jesus is standing maybe in between the two. I don't know. But at least next to the guy. He says, do you want to be made whole? Now, the answer is, well, yeah, I want to be made whole. That's why I'm here. In other words, you see the pool there, Jesus? That's my solution. Now, Jesus didn't ask the man, do you need help to get in the water? See that? He didn't say, you need somebody to help you get in when the water gets troubled? The guy would have said, well, yeah, that'd be great. You know, let's watch and see what happens. And then you can, like, tip me up and kersplash. I'll be whole. Jesus didn't do that. He says, do you want to be whole? Well, yeah, Jesus, I want to be whole. That's why I'm here. Because everybody knows that if you're the first person in the water when it's troubled, you get made whole. That's why I'm here. All right, now think about how this is said. Jesus says, do you want to be made whole? Where's he standing? At the pool. The pool of what? The healing waters. Where the healing's supposed to take place. Where you're supposed to be made whole. In other words, what Jesus is trying to do is send a message to this guy, which is, sir, this pool is not your answer. You've been trusting in this pool of water and the troubling of the water all these years because everybody told you this is what you're supposed to trust in. And all these people that are sitting here on these porches just waiting for the water to be troubled. This is not how you get made whole. This is how you get wet. But this is not how you get made whole. Do you want to be made whole? Jesus is completely ignoring what man had taught this guy. The doctrine of man was, first one in gets healed, gets delivered, gets made whole. Jesus says, do you want to be made whole? He's completely ignoring what appears to be the solution, and he's asking the man the question. The man says, yeah, to summarize his answer, yeah, I want to be made whole. That's why I need somebody to help me get in the water. I want to be made whole. In verse 8, Jesus says unto him, okay, then rise, take up thy bed, and walk. I said, wait a minute, Jesus. I haven't gotten wet yet. Doesn't matter. That's not your solution. I'm your solution. My word is your solution. He says, rise, take up your bed, and walk. And look what happens. Immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Now, what's the message in this? This man and all these other people had put their faith in everything that they had heard for all these years. Everything that man had told them. And I have no doubt but what the religious leaders of the Jews were in on this thing too. Because we know this man was a Jew. How do we know he was a Jew? Because as you read the rest of this story, the Jews confronted him and said, what are you doing breaking the Sabbath? I mean, who cared if the Gentiles break the Sabbath? This guy was confronted because he was breaking the Sabbath. So he was a Jew. Now, here's what's interesting. I mean, there's a whole lot that went on in this story we don't know about. But I just wonder how many Pharisees, how many priests, how many of them ever did anything to help this guy out? How many of them did anything according to the structure of the law to help this guy? But what happened was the man shows up here at this pool, and he's there day after day waiting for the troubling of the waters. And Jesus comes along and he's saying, look, This whole troubling of the waters thing is not the answer. It's not. This is not what's going to make you whole. Do you want to be made whole? Yeah, I want to be made whole. Okay, then fine. Here's what you need. You need my word. Because the power of my word is the thing that's going to make you whole. Get up, take your bed, and go. Walk. And immediately, this guy was made whole. Now, how many other people do you think were watching this? If there's a whole lot of people there on these porches waiting, it says there's a multitude of them. A whole bunch of these people were there. And I'll guarantee you there were some standing around who heard this, who were witnesses to this. And Jesus, what he's telling these people is, what man tells you isn't going to work. But what you need is a word from me. What you need is my word. What you need is God's word. Because God's word is the thing that is going to make you whole. No matter what it is that you're facing, no matter what it is that you're going through, God's word is the thing that's going to make you whole. And here this guy has been waiting all these years for the troubling of the water. And every time the water got troubled, his belief system was, if I can't be the first one in, then I can't be made whole. And Jesus comes along and he says, this isn't the answer to the problem. The answer to the problem is with a word from God. And he says, rise. Look at this. He didn't even say, I call you healed. He didn't say, I'll pray for you. He didn't lay hands on him. I mean, he just spoke to this man. He spoke to this man, and in the process of speaking to him, he delivered the word of God that this man needed. He delivered the word of God that was totally counter to everything this man had believed concerning his healing. Everything that this guy had put his faith in, everything that man had taught him, everything that everybody else believed, all of it, this guy was being pointed in a totally different direction. Jesus said, I want to draw your attention to me, not this pool of water, because I've come to heal. I've come to set free. I've come to deliver people. I've come to make people whole. I carry God's anointing with me. Do you want to be whole? Yeah, I want to be whole. Then rise, take up your bed and walk. Take up your bed and walk. Okay, now, let's think about this for us. How many of us have a pool of Bethesda in our lives? How many of us are sitting around and waiting for the troubling of the waters? How many of us have put our faith in the things that man has said instead of what God has said? How many of us are trusting in what's popular? Because this pool of Bethesda thing was obviously very popular. How many of us are trusting in what is popular as opposed to what God has already said in His Word? Very simple one. Just one illustration. If you look back over, turn forward to John chapter 14. Just look at verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Okay? Do you believe it? Or not? What's man's religion say? You can't be a Jesus. There's only one Jesus. What's man's religion say? You have to pray and ask God, you know, if it be thy will, that kind of a thing. But what's the word from the Lord? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Our pool of Bethesda is when we take a look at all these things that people tell us relative to, well, you got to put your faith in God and believe that someday he's going to move. Okay, I can do that. But what has Jesus said in addition to that? Jesus has said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Do you realize that he didn't say the pastor in here or the evangelist or anybody else? He said, he that believes on me. And I know some people try to, you know, kind of worm their way out of this by saying, well, he was talking only about the apostles. That's impossible. I mean, if you're going to leave Jesus' teachings in context with all that he has said, you know, from Matthew to John, you can't say that he's talking only about the apostles, especially when you get over to John chapter 17 and really study out the prayer that he had there. Jesus is saying, over in chapter 5, he's telling the man, I am your answer, not this pool of water. Doesn't matter what you believe about this pool of water. It doesn't matter what the word Bethesda means. It doesn't matter what everybody else is around here waiting for. And it doesn't matter what everybody else has told you. What I'm telling you is that doesn't work. But I will give you something that does work. Rise, take up your bed, and walk. And that's very similar to what happened when Peter and John went into the temple over there in the book of Acts. Remember that? He says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Remember that? Same thing. Okay, well, what did he have? Well, one of the things that he had was what Jesus said here in John chapter 14, verse 12. When Peter made that statement, such as I have give I thee, what did he have? One of the things that he had was a word from Jesus. The word from Jesus was, the works that I do, you can do also. We have a whole book full of God's words to us. By his stripes you were healed. You know, if this Bethesda thing, I mean, why not just everybody pack up and go to Jerusalem and, you know, sit around that pool? Let's find it. And then we'll get teams of people to push folks in as soon as the water is troubled. Or it can be like some folks, we can help trouble the water. Just run, you know, some compressed air, you know, underneath and, you know, hit the button and shoot some, you know, just create our own thing. When Jesus is dealing with this man at the pool of Bethesda, and he's telling this guy, do you want to be whole? What he's saying is, do you really want to see God move in your life? Do you really want to see an answer? Do you really want deliverance from your problem? If you do, if you want to see your life changed, if you want to see everything about you completely reversed, if you want to see everything taken care of that needs to be taken care of, the way man's told you isn't going to work. But the way I tell you will work. So, and I'm telling you right now, just get up. Rise, take up your bed, walk. You can do it. Well, what do you mean I can do it? Because I said so. You got a word from God. We have a word from the Lord. A whole bunch of them. The one that I gave as an example. If we believe on him, the works that he did, we can do also. That is a word from God. If this guy had responded to the words that Jesus said to him, the way most Christians respond to what we see Jesus saying, well, like there in John 14, 12, this guy'd still be sitting there. Or his bones would be. He said, oh, come on, Jesus. This rise, take up your bed and walk stuff, that's just for the apostles. That's not for me. I gotta wait for the water. Don't you understand? Why don't you call on an angel to come down just for me? Wait till everybody's looking the other way. Create a distraction. Then have that angel come down and stir up the water so I can get in there and get healed. Get delivered, get made whole. So I can get a job. So I can have a normal life. So I can be like other people. So I can be like you, Jesus. So I can walk around. So I can run. So I can do the kind of things that I used to do. But this rise stuff, this take up your bed and walk stuff. And now the guy was a Jew, remember? He was Jewish. And the Jews, we're not going to get into this tonight, but the Jews gave him a hard time. About, you know, who told you to pick up your bed and carry it? You notice here this guy didn't argue? In other words, what he didn't say was, but Jesus, I can't carry my bed on the Sabbath. Don't you know I'd be breaking the law? Do you have any idea what those priests would say to me? Why, they might kick me out of church. Jesus, come on. Look, I'm going to be here tomorrow, okay? I'm here every day. I'll be here tomorrow. Come by tomorrow and heal me. Come by tomorrow and make me whole. Come by tomorrow and change my circumstances. Maybe tomorrow I can listen to you, but today I can't. No, this guy didn't do that. This guy, immediately he's made whole, he takes up his bed and he walks. He's out of there. He says, why should I wait for something to happen that's never happened? Why should I wait for it to happen in a way that's never worked? This guy obviously knows something that everybody else doesn't know. Rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately this guy's made whole and he gets up and he walks. Okay, now, there are too many people, too many Christians that absolutely do not want to rely on God's word. We're not mad at God or anything like that. But it's like, let's just be honest. John 14:12, isn't that just a little hard to believe? The works that I do, you can do also. Seriously, isn't that like a challenge to our belief system? Well, I don't know how. Well, we're not going to get into all of the how, but, you know, throughout Scripture, there's an explanation as to how we can get to the place to see these works happen through us. Jesus, the works that Jesus did, it was to bring glory to the Father. If you see me, you've seen the Father. So when he talks here about us doing the works that he did, it's to bring glory to him. Not glory to us or anything else. But this statement that he makes, and that's only half the verse, this statement that he makes about doing the works that he did, that is just so anti-religion. It is so out there. It is so against the grain of everything that we typically hear. Those of you that grew up in church, or maybe you didn't get into the church until you were like 10, 15, whatever, I don't know, but I mean, you've been in church for a long time. How many times in your life have you heard sermons where the pastor stood up and told you, you can do the works of Jesus? Isn't it usually the opposite? Where they tell you you can't do these things. Why? Why would somebody, when Jesus Christ, we put our faith in him to be our Lord and Savior. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you that I'm born again. And then we come down here to something that he said, and we tell people it can't. Can't be, can't happen, won't happen, isn't going to. We tell people no. We tell them to believe in Jesus. Put your faith in Jesus. Every word of God is true, the infallible word of God. Well, if it's infallible and if every word is true, then how come this one isn't? Well, because it just doesn't fit in with what we want to believe. All these other people believe that if they could get into the water, they'd be healed, they'd be made whole. And Jesus, right then and there, you know, I'm just curious. Nothing in Scripture that I can find supports or explains any of this or answers it, but I'm just curious. After that day, how many of those people started looking for Jesus instead of going back to that pool? Because I can tell you one thing. I mean, I have no doubt. But what this guy over the years had made friends with some of those people there at the pool. And that if you'd had some kind of a miracle and you had a friend that was in the same condition, maybe a different affliction, but, you know, in the same state, you know, there, wouldn't you tell them? I mean, this guy would have walked up to those people. Wow, when did you get in the water? Well, I didn't. What do you mean you didn't? Well, I didn't get in the water. Well, how could you be healed? You're walking. You can never do this. I know, but I am now. And you didn't get in the pool. No. Well, what happened? This guy came along, Jesus, and he spoke to me. And he said, rise, take up your bed and walk. You're kidding. No. That's all he did. Yep. He didn't push you in. Nope. He didn't get a bucket full of the water and dump it on you. Nope. All he did was tell you to get up and walk. Yep, that's it. And now here you are made whole. Yeah. Where is this guy? Can you help me get to him? Because if it worked for you, there's a good chance it can work for me. And if I can just get close enough to him to get a word from him, I can probably get my answer too. And here we have a whole book full of words. Here we have a whole book full of answers. Here we have a whole book full of solutions to our problems. Do you want to be made whole? I mean, what is your affliction? This guy, for 38 years, let's just say he was a paraplegic from the waist down. Don't know exactly for sure, but let's just say that's what it was. For 38 years, that was his affliction. And he got, let's see here. What was it? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Seven words. That's all I got. Seven. Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Seven words. Not one of those in italics. Seven words. That's all. Seven out of the whole Bible. This guy only got seven. And he was made whole. After 38 years of struggling with the same problem, day in and day out, seven words was all it took to get this man delivered, to get this man made whole. How many words do you need? How many promises do you need from God? What is your affliction? What have you been struggling with for 38 years? I'm telling you now, there is a word in here that is your answer. There is a word in here that is your solution. There is a word in here that will make you whole. Are you struggling in the area, emotional area? There's a whole lot more than just seven words in here about peace, about the condition of your emotions. A whole lot more in here. But the difference is what you do with what he said. Jesus says, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk," and the man got up and did it. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I leave with you." Not like you're going to get at the world's pool of Bethesda, at religion's pool of Bethesda. I'm going to give you, leave with you, make available to you the kind of peace that is generated in and originates from heaven itself. I'm going to leave that with you. You're having problems, you're struggling in the area, up and down, emotions, whatever. Hey, my peace I leave with you. There you've got words. That's how you get made whole. But so many of us over the years have been so trained to sit at a pool of Bethesda and wait for an angel to trouble the waters so that we can dive in. Father, if it be thy will. Well, we know God can, but will he? Well, I'm just waiting on God to do something. You know, for the most part, all these things that we're waiting on God to do, there is a word in here. There is a word. Oh, I don't know what to do. He tells you in here. You'll hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk you in it. I mean, he explains in here that he's got the answer for everything. The specifics aren't in here. In other words, if you need an automobile, you're not going to find an automobile here in this Bible. But you're going to find God's word about how an automobile can be provided for your life. I mean, I don't know what it is you're facing. I don't know. I know what I'm facing. And the last thing that I need to do is sit around at a pool of Bethesda waiting for an angel to come and trouble the water so that I can jump in and do nothing but get wet. And this is, quite frankly, what happens in a lot of services. Especially in a lot of the really high-powered shout-me-down services. They get people worked up emotionally. You know what they're doing? They're just troubling the waters of the pool. They get people up front. And some people, I admit, and I've seen it, some people, they do get their healing or whatever. But most of the time, in those kinds of services, you know, all they do is get wet from the preacher spitting on them while he's preaching. All they do is get wet. The waters got troubled, and they run from camp meeting to camp meeting, from crusade to crusade, from this thing to the other. And the whole time they're doing this, they're carrying with them into those services a book that is full of every word they need from God to make them whole, no matter what the situation is they're facing. There are people that have problems with their kids. You've got over seven words from God that can make that situation whole. You got family problems, you know, husbands and wives having problems, job problems. You know, let's make up our list and compare them. You know, each one of us can come up with all kinds of things that we're facing in life, but we're not going to get away from the fact that God has given us His Word. And His Word provides the answer for us. You know, really, in my opinion, one of the greatest blessings that has come along to the body of Christ are all those little books out there. You know, God's promises for your every need or whatever. And you can look up the topics, and you can find verses relative to that problem. I mean, how easy can it get? You don't even have to get in a concordance and start looking up words and try to find your own verses. Somebody's done it for you. Those books contain specific passages related to what you need. And it's God's Word. As Christians, and listen, yeah, I am no different than anybody else in that there are times when I sit around trying to come up with my own answers. In other words, I'm at the pool. When the whole time, the answer is right in here. The whole time, the solution is right in here. It's just a matter of me taking God's Word and applying God's Word to my life, which is what that guy did. He took the Word from the Lord. He applied it to his life. He got up and he walked. And he took his bed. I mean, he needed a place to sleep that night. took his bed with him. And now a whole new world has opened up for this man. I mean, all kinds of things. Maybe the guy was single and he always wanted a wife. How many women want to marry a guy that's, you know, for 38 years laid up, no chance of being healed? I'm not trying to be mean to this poor fellow. I'm just telling you this is how it is. Now he's got the hope of maybe meeting a woman and falling in love and getting married and maybe having kids. Or now he can go out and get a job. Or now he can do things that he could never do before. In other words, his whole life has changed because of seven words. Seven words changed the course of that man's history. We have words. In other words, a song. Oh, I forget how it goes, which may be a blessing to you. Something about words of life. Wonderful words, beautiful words, wonderful words of life. Wonderful words, beautiful. That's what this is. This Bible is God's word to us. You know, if you go to God, you ask Him for more than what's in here, you're not going to get it. Because it already contains everything that you need. Everything that I need, everything I could ever hope for, the answer is in here on what to do. God, I want to grow spiritually. It's in here. God, I want a greater anointing. The answer is in here. God, I want to walk in power. The answer is in here. God, I want to be like Jesus. The answer is in here. It's like, yeah, but I'd rather have somebody help me into the pool. You know, wait for the altar call, run to the front, have the preacher lay hands on me, boom, go down on the floor, and then get up a changed man. Hallelujah. More power, more glory, more anointing. God says, now you just don't get it, do you? If you want a change to take place, it's going to take place according to the way I do it, my word. Nobody has ever increased in their day-to-day anointing walk because another preacher laid hands on them. Nobody has ever become a great, mighty preacher because another preacher laid hands on them. Nobody. We become what God wants us to become, and we experience change in our life the way we can experience it because of what God has said right here in His Word. That's sure, religion will give you a hard time about it. That happened to this man. Because any time that you go against whatever is popular, any time you go against what everybody else seems to think is going to work, somebody's not going to like it. And the incredible thing about it is, we'll see this next time we're together, the incredible thing about it is this, when you read that story, and you're beginning in verse 10 over there in John 5, when you read that, those religious leaders did not give a hoot. This man had been delivered and made whole after 38 years. They didn't care. All that concerned them was that their religious system had been challenged. Let me tell you something. Now listen to this. Kind of jump ahead. If it was truly against the law for that man to do what Jesus told him to do, Jesus would not have told him to do it. Think about that. If it was really wrong for that man to pick up his bed and walk and go home after being made whole, Jesus would have never told that man to do it. Because Jesus didn't break the law. Remember? At one time when he was being accused, he said, "What do you have against me? Tell me my wrong. Tell me where I've broken the law. Which one of you can accuse me?" And nobody could. None of them brought this up, did they? Your answer is right here. And the only way that you're going to find an answer in somebody else's book is if they're quoting from this right here. Otherwise, I don't know. I guess I look back over my own life and I realize how much faith I had put in everybody else's writings and had actually exalted them above God's Word. There are a lot of good books out there, I admit, but none of them compare to what God has given us right here in this book. Nobody has written anything that can help us, touch us, and change us the way what God has given us can change us. Don't sit at the pool and wait for man's religion to bring about change in your life. Apply the word that God has given to you, and you will be made whole in any area that needs to be made whole. Praise the Lord. I thank God for His word. I can't lose when I take Him at His word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, pick up your bed and stand.